Well, this is the first Sunday in Advent, and it feels like it kind of snuck up on me. You know, it's just Thanksgiving was late this year, and it was, and here we are. We're in the first Sunday of Advent. And so for the next several Sundays, we will follow along with the Revised Common Lectionary and share in those readings. And if you ever want, Vanderbilt University has a website, and you can go follow along and read ahead. And we'll be reading from the book of Isaiah today. And we will share a passage of scripture that churches across the world will be sharing today. So, of Isaiah chapter 2, starting in verse 1. The word that came, or that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established at the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for all, for many peoples. For they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, let us walk in the house of the Lord, or in the light of the Lord. That phrase has caught the attention and the thoughts of the church for years. Beating swords into plowshares. It gives this idea, this picture of the blacksmith who is taking pieces of metal that were once used for war and refashioning them so that they can become plowshares. Something that would till the ground and prepare it for seeding. In the United Nations, there is a giant statue that is of this man who looks like a blacksmith, hammer in his hand and a sword in the other hand. And as he's beating it, the sword is being beaten. And at the other end of it, it looks more like the implement that would be used to till up the soil. It's an amazing, it's a beautiful statue, a very simple illustration, but a wishful, a hopeful image. An image that invites us to dream of a day in which peace will rule the earth. Peace. A title we ascribe to Christ, the Prince of Peace. It doesn't take very much reading in the Old Testament to quickly surmise that peace is not always first thing on the mind of God's people. The question we have to ask, is war really a part of God's true nature, or is war a part of the fall? Were we created to be at war with each other, or were we created to live in peace? The vision that Isaiah has is of a day in which peace will once again rule all nations. The question I have as we head into this Advent season is, do we have to wait for peace? Perhaps on a global scale, we have to wait for peace to see nations lay down their swords. But perhaps in our own lives, we don't have to wait for living out what it means to live in peace. This idea of beating a sword into a plowshare is really an interesting concept. After World War I, as the war wrapped up, there were a surplus of tanks. Interestingly enough, many of those tanks were disassembled to a certain degree and then recommissioned as bulldozers and were used as the nation began to ramp up its highway projects. Global positioning systems, which used to be like Navistar GPS, was the original title for that, was really a military tool. It was used exclusively by the military to geolocate troops or to provide more precision airstrikes. And today, all we have to do is turn our phone on and say, okay, Google, and get me somewhere. And Google will pop up directions for how to get there. This idea of taking things that were intended for war and using them for peace or peace-filled activities is something that we've seen before. Shortly after 9/11, as I was doing some reading about this sermon this morning, shortly after 9/11, there was a Mennonite group who had heard that sections of steel from the Twin Towers were being taken and used in the construction of a battleship. And it was being used for the purpose of constructing an instrument of war. And these Mennonites, who were very peace-filled people, also asked for pieces of that tower. And they used that to create gardening tools because they wanted to promote peace. That even as we hear scripturally, out of such horrific acts as what 9/11 brought into our nation, we can still do acts that promote peace. That company called, it's called Raw Tools, R-A-W, Tools. You can go out and Google them. They're still around. But instead of making plowshares and hand tools and garden tools out of pieces of 9/11, they now take people who donate guns. And they will take those guns and they will smith them back into tools that can be used across the world for gardening. What does it mean for us to pursue peace? First of all, it is to be reminded that we actually serve a God of peace, not a God of war. That we were created in the image of that God. And that while conflict is throughout Scripture, we realize that conflict is a part of the fallen nature. And Jesus teaches us, love your enemies. He calls for us to reverse the idea that we have in our world today, that we should hate our enemies and we should retaliate against those who cause us harm. But Jesus instructs us to love our enemies. We're called by the psalmist to set at the table prepared for us with our enemies. Christ died for enemies. Yes, even while we were enemies of the cross and of God, Christ died for us to give us an opportunity at peace with God. And I'll remind you that even on the cross, next to one who was an enemy of righteousness, Christ extended an invitation to eternal life to a thief who was dying next to him. We serve a God that is taking the swords of sin and beating them into plowshares in our own lives. We are all products of our sinful choices. Each one of us have made them. And yet, we serve a God who can take out of all of those sinful choices and bring to life something that is truly redeemed. God can take the sinful swords of our own lives and beat them into plowshares, tools that God can use for good. How important is it for us to know that we serve a God who is a God of peace? The question for us today is, how do we promote peace, the peace of God? Perhaps one of the easiest things that we can do is to take those who we know frustrate us, those who we know we have odds against, those who we know that we are not at peace with, and offer or extend to them the plowshare of peace. Now, I don't know the names of those people in your lives. Some of them, I probably do know the names of those people in your lives. But peace can't begin until it begins in us first. The God of peace has invited us to be reconciled to Him, and in turn, He has invited us to extend reconciliation to others around us. Isn't it interesting that in the 12-step program, that one of the things you're supposed to do is be reconciled to people that you've wronged? That it is itself a part of the healing that we need to have? I've often thought it would be great if there was just a 12-step program for life, for recovering failures and sinners. A 12-step program that would remind us of the steps that we need to take. The first step to being as God wants us to be, a peaceful people, is by doing the same thing that Christ did for us, that while that person is still at odds with you, reconcile with them and offer them peace. You know their names. You know who it is. Reconcile with them and offer them peace, regardless of what they will do to you. We serve a God of peace, but at Christmas it's important that we remember that we ourselves are a community of peace. This church is a place where we can gather together, Jew and Gentile, male, female, free and slave, addict and recovering, incarcerated and free, broken and whole, single and together. We can be a place of peace in which we offer this phrase we've had from the beginning of our church, unsuspecting acceptance. Where we can walk into this place and know that we are at peace and judgment does not await us. This idea that we are one with Christ when we come and we are reconciled with Christ, that we are one with Him, gives us this idea there is no longer any judgment, but instead there is restoration. Within this body, to be at peace with one another, but to be at peace with those who come through that front door. We can be challenged by that. If I'm honest, I am not always good at erasing the record of wrongs in relationships. In my own home, there are times that I hold on to the memory of those wrongs for far too long. Imagine if my faith was built on that same assumption that God is holding in his hip pocket the record of wrongs to bring out the minute I fail again. Imagine what our relationship with God would be like if we knew that at age 55, at age 75, that every time we failed, we would have to wait for God to go through that list of all 75 years. How much more important is it for me to do the same with others, that I do not hold those records of wrongs? Peace begins here. It begins in a community that is built for peace. It begins in a community where we take all of the things that can potentially put us at odds, including politics, and lay them aside and understand that even if we differ, we can peacefully pursue the love of Christ together. May we beat those swords, those lists that we have that remember the wrongs, may we beat those swords into plowshares as well. We serve a God of peace. We are a community of peace. And we are to act with peace. If we are to be reconciled to God's grace through the peace of Christ, we should also reconcile others to extend dignity to all humanity. As Christ extended dignity to the woman who was caught in adultery, if anyone was at odds or an enemy of the law, it was the woman who was caught in adultery. And yet that is not what Christ extended to her. He extended to her dignity. To the woman at the well who did not have a husband and in fact was living with the man that she was with, if anyone was an enemy of righteousness, it was her. And yet Christ extended to her dignity by talking with her and inviting her into a conversation. We act upon peace by this, by pursuing those who we are at odds with. There's a podcast that I listen to that is, it's the story of two people that have come together and they've been pursued as two people who are different positions politically. And they come together and they have this little set of questions that they ask each other. And during the podcast, the idea is to discover who they are as people rather than who they are politically. And as I listen to these podcasts of people who have these normal conversations that you and I would think are normal conversations, but they are coming from vastly differing political points of view, it's interesting every time how eventually they get to the questions about their political point of view. But by this point, they have treated each other with such human dignity that they are okay talking about how they differ. And they can have a civil conversation about how they differ instead of coming at each other with accusatory tones. It's incredible what happens when we look at someone else and assume their humanity and their dignity first, instead of assuming how they are different from us. Part of the way we become an agent of peace is we don't sit around and wait for peace to happen. Just as war is an act in which a country takes one action against another, just as a fight is an act in which one aggresses towards another, so peace is an act that we don't just sit casually and wait for, but it is something that we pursue intentionally. we can start peace ourselves. And the story of Advent invites us to start peace as Christ was brought into our world, Emmanuel, God with us. God didn't wait for us to figure out how to be reconciled to Him. He inserted Christ into the world so that we could have one who is like us show us how to be reconciled to Him. One who walked the streets of Jerusalem. One who was born and left the town of Bethlehem. One who stood in front of princes and prostitutes and told them about the love and the peace of God. God pursued us while we were yet sinners. We ought also pursue peace. We serve a God of peace. We are a community of peace, and we are called to act upon peace. As we go into this season of Advent, let us be people of peace, beating the swords of our past, past hatreds, past angers, past tensions, past disagreements, into plowshares of peace. May we go from this place a peaceful people. May we go from this place pursuing peace. Amen.